Hi, welcome to the Brain Injury Answers Podcast. This is Dr. David Glazer providing the answers you need when a brain injury occurs. This podcast is for educational purposes only. For treatment, please consult your physician. This podcast does not represent the Department of Veterans Affairs. All right, let's get started. Welcome to today's podcast. We'd like to welcome Dr. Robert Underwood. He is currently the Chief Medical Officer of the San Juan Regional Medical Center in Farmington, New Mexico. In addition, he's a graduate of West Point. He is an Army veteran, and he has many, many other accolades which he can speak about. In addition to being an emergency medicine physician, he has recently published a book, The Leader's Compass for Medical Professionals, Modeling Personal Values to Influence People, Accomplish the Mission, and Improve the Organization. Without further ado, Dr. Underwood, welcome to today's podcast.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
Great. First off, is there anything additional you'd like to add to the introduction about yourself?
No, that was very flattering. A little bit, I guess, is that I think, especially for patients that you've taken care of. So I'm an Army veteran myself. So I applaud you and I thank you for working with the Veterans Administration. It's very near and dear to my heart. But the other thing that's a little bit different, I think, for me versus other providers is I was in the Army. I went to West Point, like you said. And I was actually commissioned into the field artillery. I was a field artillery officer. I was not a doctor.
Oh, wow.
And so I worked as in the combat arms in the Army. And then after I got off of my active duty time, I actually got my first job in a hospital as a medical records supervisor and got my pre-med because I was an engineer. So I had to go back and take organic chemistry and biology classes and stuff like that to get my pre-med before I went to med school.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, a little bit different, a little bit of a different pathway than I think what most physicians who go kind of high school, college, med school residency, which I think gave me a little bit of a different experience as well, which in turn is what feeds my interest around leadership.
Great. Excellent. And so specifically with your work as an emergency physician and in your medical leadership positions, have you had any experience with patients who have sustained a traumatic brain injury?
Well, sure. You know, as an emergency physician, we see it often, though, in its periods of extremis. In the acute phase around trauma and traumatic injuries, the patients who come in directly from motor vehicle crash or something like that is probably the most common, but also some of the post-injury sequelae that we see in the medical field. You know, predisposition for seizure activity would also be something we would see people in seizure or postictal activities. But the other that was, and I don't think that until I was really a practicing physician that I understood is, you know, some of the components around the behavioral health side of things, emotional liability or lability with the patients, those often presented to the emergency department as well, or secondary consequences because of those things we would see in the emergency department. So it was an eye-opener, I think, for me as an emergency physician. The other I would say is that, you know, when we talk about traumatic brain injury, we think of the things that are often the very severe injured. But over my career, our understanding of the spectrum of traumatic brain injury has increased. All the way from a mild post-concussive syndrome to severe traumatic brain injury. And so we introduced, while I was an emergency physician working with actually via originally our sports medicine team that came out of our orthopedic office and other sports injuries, but we started developing a concussion clinic that we made sure that we were doing the right levels of screening. There was education that came from our sports medicine doctor to the emergency physicians, worked on alignment. And so, you know, that gets into my my interest, especially around leadership, of how do you go about doing that and changing a process where you're kind of dead set in your old ways of doing things, but then there's new knowledge and there's a new interest and there's a new way to really help people. And so how do we go about making those changes for our patients? And so, you know, Tom was our sports medicine doctor, and again, kind of came in, educated some of us and made sure we had the right referral pattern set up, right screening materials, and right guidance for our patients who had suffered a traumatic brain injury, so that they weren't lost to follow-up, which, you know, when I started years and years ago, that was often the case.
Sure. And so we'll shortly get back to this experience you've had, but could you talk a little bit more about the book that you've written and published?
Sure. So the book is, again, you know, I talk about leadership and, you know, the Academy, West Point, is really designed about around leadership development, developing officers and leaders. And what we like to say is leaders of character for the Army. And so you spend a lot of time developing leadership skills. And as clinicians, we are often put into leadership roles because of our knowledge base. But our training often doesn't prepare us to be good leaders. In fact, it may be actually the opposite. You know, leadership is about teamwork. Leadership is about not the individual, but how do we raise up as a whole to improve a system? And so I felt it was an opportune time to write the book, considering the changes in healthcare, and we're counting more and more on clinicians, doctors, and other clinical people to move into leadership roles in very complex ways. The leadership is working with various departments, various people, and our skill set coming out of the clinical field, you know, we measure our success one patient at a time. The ultimate responsibility lies on my shoulders and my shoulders alone. I mean, that's what we're taught. That's what we're taught in med school. That's what we're taught in residency, which is actually almost in conflict of true leadership, because the team winning is more important than me winning. And so that's really kind of why I wrote the book. And if we want clinicians to help change systems to improve the care for our patients, then I think clinicians really need to kind of gain that understanding and understand leadership development, understand their leadership roles more effectively. So I wrote this book, which is really about a doctor who has no leadership experience, and he is made a medical director. And so with some trepidation, he moves forward in trying to understand what that leadership role is. And it turns out that one of his patients is a former military officer. And so they start talking about leadership, and that patient sort of becomes the mentor for the medical director. And they walk through various levels of leadership skill set for a doctor moving into that role.
Sure. Now, is this based off a true story?
There are components. I think that every author will tell you there are some truth elements. I wouldn't say that it is completely true, but there are certain characters in the book that are definitely real.
Sure.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent, as they say.
There you go. Sure. Sure. But definitely from your experience, the ideas you put forth in your book are definitely true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I worked with a gentleman named Dennis Haley, and he's with Academy Leadership, which is a leadership development company. And so a lot of the storyline in terms of the mentorship aspect of it is my co-author's idea. And then how we put that together in a healthcare setting, we work together to do that. So Dennis is actually a Naval Academy graduate. So me you know, an Army graduate working with a Navy graduate may seem counterintuitive, but it worked well.
That actually brings out the best of everyone's leadership skills and working as a team, Army and Navy.
Indeed.
Okay. Now, using the skills that you've learned throughout all your facets of your life, both pre-medicine and as an emergency physician, and now really as a medical leader, how do you take all these experiences and lessons and now apply it to a different type of team, a different type of system? And that would be the system of a patient who has sustained a traumatic brain injury, along whatever spectrum that brain injury may have been upon. And how do you apply those skills to the patient and their new system, whether it be patient and family, patient and support system, patient and doctor, patient and therapist, patient and social work. In that idea, how do you now take what you've learned from the medical hospital realm and now apply it to this new realm, this new kind of world that is built upon a patient who has sustained a traumatic brain injury?
Sure. As I alluded to before, you know, teamwork is kind of the heart and soul of why you're a leader in the first place, is how do you develop a team and look at it as a whole, like you said, as a system. And you just ran through quite a number of ways that we improve the life and develop rehabilitation among the brain injured patient. Listen to all the components that you just talked about, you know, neurologists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, you know, speech therapists, all of those have to work together towards a whole in order for that improvement. And so part of that is coordinating and working with that team to get to a final outcome. One of the things I like to say about leadership in general is that leadership is built off of values, and it gets into that in the book. You start with, what are your true values? Why are you doing what you're doing? And so for a caregiver, I would say that that's really where you've got to start, is, you know, what do you value? And do you search that out and think about that at that base level? And I'll run through this. We start with values, and then values in action become our virtues, and virtues in action and repeated define what your character is like. And then that in turn develops trust. And so in order to be a leader, you have to have a trusting relationship with those with whom you are leading. So if we look at it in that way, and you start at the fundamentals of your value system, then that helps you lead in those various circumstances. You know, I gave an example, you know, before we went on the air, of one of our medical directors at my hospital that suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. And then the coordination between his family and the rest of the medical staff was all built on the leadership from his family. But there was a level of trust that was there that was really built off of, what did we value in terms of caring for each other? And how did we put those into actions to show what our true character was? And so that's another component of it, only on a much more personal level. And I think that this affects, you know, if you're a caregiver for someone with a traumatic brain injury, falling back on your values and virtues when things are difficult to coordinate, difficult to arrange, and sometimes try your patience, I think that those are incredibly important to sustain, because sometimes it can be a long road.
Correct. Correct. And I like that kind of pathway you set up. It's interesting. We always talk about clinical pathways. And so this is essentially a leadership pathway.
Yes.
Which really, you know, if you think about the family, patient, caregiver, just one example I would throw out that many families have is that they value family. They value those in their family, no matter what may happen.
And so through that care, through showing up to the hospital, through doing the quote unquote more dirty work, that shows what the value is in the family. And like you said, that becomes their virtue, that they're so dedicated as a family unit. And then that then establishes that trust and displays the character that the family and the support system have, whether it's the family member caring for the patient or the therapist or the psychologist or a physician caring for that patient. So that's a really a great summarization of what it means to integrate clinical knowledge, leadership skills, and system processing into this whole to truly help what's most important in the healthcare system, and that's the patient and maximizing the function of the patient.
Yeah, I think you put it together really well. There are so many components, and I like the analogy that you drew of, you know, clinical pathway versus leadership pathway, because it really is. We always start at the ground level as clinicians, knowing what our ultimate outcome or desire we want or are hoping to attain. But we know that we've got to work at the basic level first in order to get to that point. And so that was a good way to pull it together. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us today. I want to say once COVID passes through, I'm eager to go all the way out to Farmington, New Mexico to meet you in person. I can't say I've really been in that part of the country yet, so it'd be an honor to meet you in person one day.
That would be great. And I have family there in Virginia, so maybe I'll meet you sometime.
Okay. Well, we could arrange something.
You bet. Great.
Anyways, again, thank you, Dr. Robert Underwood, Chief Medical Officer of the San Juan Regional Medical Center in Farmington, New Mexico, for joining us today. Thank you again, and stay well.
That's a wrap for today. Remember to email all your questions to braininjuryanswers@gmail.com. Check out the website, www.braininjuryanswers.com. Thanks for listening.